So the particular verses that I wanted to bring to you this morning were the first five verses of 1 John, or John chapter 1, sorry. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. As we approach these verses in John, it's important for us to consider how John differs in his gospel compared to the others. You may have heard that the other gospels are often referred to as the synoptic gospels because of their similarities across them. But here we find John takes a different stance. He has a different approach as to his writing towards Jesus. And here we find at the very beginning, it really sums up the book as a whole. His aim is to show who Christ really is. You see, it's so important that this morning we understand who Christ really is. We see right at the beginning of the church, after the ministry of Jesus, Satan was spreading seeds of doubt and of illusion and of confusion about the person of Jesus Christ. And it was a deadly seed, and is one that continues today. There is so much confusion as to who Jesus is, as to what he did, his relationship to the Father and the Holy Spirit, and people are following lies, and they are still on that broad road to destruction. John, in chapter 20, verse 31, he says, "But these are written to you that you might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." You see, it's so important that we understand who Jesus is so that we might have life. If we don't have the right attitude at who Christ is, then we don't have that life. How can we have faith in someone who we do not know? How can we have a relationship with someone who is misrepresented to us? The devil still spreads the same lies today. We have people knocking doors who want to tell us about a false Christ and leading people on the road to destruction. And John, like us today, we need to reassert who is Christ. He lays the foundations here right at the beginning. I think it's important that we understand that before we read anything of Christ and his works, we know who he is. That we know that he is God. That we know that he is eternal. And that he is the light of this world. And I hope that you know that this morning. Whether here in this building or on the live stream, I hope you know who Christ is. It's imperative so that we might have life. Yes, we're living in a time, still today, people stand up in pulpits and misrepresent Christ. There are new philosophies as his person and purpose. There's nothing new today. You hear people who will say, well, Christ, he was just a good teacher. People say that he was just a prophet. And people mar him, saying that he was a created being. All lies from the pit of hell. You see, if the devil cannot stop the name of Christ being spread abroad, he will do all he can to tarnish it. And we see it more than ever. And it was the same in the time of John. He writes these verses under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to dispel any of these disillusions that people might have as to the person of Christ. And so with no hesitation, he launches an attack with these five verses, countering these lies in which we're filling the minds of new Christians to destroy false doctrines of the day. And he does not start, as we see in the other Gospels, he does not start with the lineage of Jesus. He does not show how he comes from the line of David. He does not even start at the Nativity. But he starts at the foundation of our faith. Who is Christ? In the beginning was the Word. He was the one from the beginning. And so here we find five succinct truths about Christ. He is brief, he is precise. There is no room for error when we read these first verses of the Gospel of John. And so may we in childlike faith understand these simple truths about Christ and be blessed with the knowledge of who he is. These statements are like keyholes for us as Christians. As we read these simple words, we look into them And there is infinite revelation as to who Christ is. And that is just the nature of truth, isn't it? And the word of God. Simple truths which reveal infinite wisdom, doctrine, teaching. Never may we be those who say that we have mastered a particular part of Scripture. You see, it's an infinite well to be drawn from. And this is what I love about the Bible, that it's a book for every man. It is a message to every man. Simple enough that any man can understand these words, but so deep and rich that no man can fully comprehend it. You see, when we're Christians, we will have the whole of eternity to understand what these verses mean, to know Christ. May we not be those who read Scripture and believe it has run dry, that we've taken everything out of it. So these few verses, so simple in their writing, but they just explode with information for us in the revelation of Christ. Simple truths. And today there is so much false teaching, it turns it on its head. You see, they pile on the information. They'll give you laws, they'll give you theology. And they'll say that you have to dig for the truth to find that thread. They will pile it on and they say, if you haven't found truth in all this, then you need to dig some more. That you haven't looked, that you haven't read enough, that you haven't studied enough. Whatever it is that you're looking through, whether you're trusting in the science of this world, whether you're trusting in another religion, they're making you dig for it. The truth is not there. Truth is simple and deep. Now I wonder this morning, are you digging for truth? Are you one who is searching for the truth this morning? I believe it's in the heart of every man to seek the truth. Well, it's right here. The Gospel of John, the whole Bible, it's here, it's simple. May we not be so full of ourselves. May we have childlike faith to just believe the word of God. You see, if you don't believe and you're digging for that truth, the God of this world, that is Satan, has blinded your mind to it. And we are so proud and boastful in our hearts that we, when we look at it, we often say, well, it can't be so. You can't see the wood through the trees. Will you humble yourself this morning to simply trust in the word of God? Verse 1, in the beginning was the word. John sets the first foundation stone for us, that Christ is eternal. As we hear those words, in the beginning, our minds should be cast back to Genesis 1, when there was just the unity of the Godhead before any creation was made. There was the Word. We know that the Word is referring to Jesus Christ. In verses 14 down to 15, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist, he was born about 6 months earlier before the earthly incarnation of our Saviour. And still then, he explains that Christ was before him. He was the one who was preferred. So we know that John is talking about Christ when he calls him the Word. We see the same term used in his epistles and also in the Revelation, the Word referring to Jesus Christ. Some people have suggested that the Word is used because it's an expression of God, and that Christ was the expression of God on this earth. An interesting thought, and one we can think about. I once had a conversation with a man at work who, he was very much into his archaeology. He loved history. And he said, how can you believe in a man that was not so old? He was only 2,000 years ago that he came and started this new religion. There were thousands of other religions which were before him. But the truth is, this morning, that before the incarnation of Christ, Christ was on his throne in heaven. And as he looked down, he saw these false idols being raised and pulled down. Christ was on the throne from eternity to eternity. And who are we to judge the time of his incarnation? Who are we to stand before God at the time and tell him that he came at the wrong time? If we did that, he will look at us and he'll tell you that you believed at the wrong time. May that not be our position this morning. And us, as children of God, can often fall into the same temptation. We think of Christ as a New Testament being. We look in our Bibles and say, I want to read of Christ this morning. And we turn to the latter 27 books of our Bible and we look for him there. But the truth is, Christ is all through the Word of God. A very effective and simple way that we can look at Christ through the Bible was this, and is often used in Sunday schools. It says, in the Old Testament, Christ is predicted. In the Gospels, Christ is revealed. In Acts, Christ is preached. In Epistles, Christ is explained. And in Revelation, Christ is expected. See, Christ transcends all of the Word of God because he is eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And what a delight it is for us when we read the Word of God and we see those glimpses of Christ. When we read of the patriarchs of Abraham, we read of Isaac, Moses, and we see pictures of Christ throughout Scripture. Shouldn't that just fill us with confidence and awe at the eternity of Christ, the expected one in the Old Testament? We have such a privilege that we have the complete canon of Scripture, and that we can look back and we can see the fulfillment of God's promises. Should that not give us more faith than anyone from before? If you turn to John 17, verse 5 with me, Christ talks of his eternity. And this is the great prayer of intercession. Jesus is praying for his disciples and for his children as he looks to the cross, as he is expecting what is to come. It is in his will that he should pray for his children. And can I tell you now that Christ is at the throne of grace praying for his children still today? Isn't that an amazing thought? That each one of your troubles and your concerns and your burdens this morning, Christ is praying for you. I think it was Murray McShane who said, if we knew that Christ was praying through the next door for you specifically, you wouldn't be afraid of anything. But yet he does so in heaven. Interesting thought, and one that fills me with confidence. Anyway, back to our text in chapter 17, verse 5. And Christ says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with before the world was. So we see here that the glory that Christ had on Calvary was the same glory that he shared with the Father in eternity. And so when we say that Christ is not eternal, we say that the cross has no glory. We take the glory away from Christ as he died on the cross for sinners. Such blasphemy is being spread abroad that says that Christ was some created being that was not with the Father in eternity. No, this is the same glory he shared when he was on the cross. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The glory received at Calvary was the glory shared with the Father in heaven. And when we take Christ out of eternity, we remove the glory of the cross. And we understand that as Jesus went to the cross that he bore the eternal judgment of sin. In our children's talk earlier, we talked about how sin has an eternal consequence because it's committed against an eternal being of infinite value. And so it only took a sacrifice that was eternal, that could bear eternal judgment. You see, if a man was up on that cross, a mortal man, he would have perished immediately, in soul, in spirit, and the wrath of God, and in his righteous justice, would not have been satisfied. It is imperative we understand the eternal nature of our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Christ said, didn't he? Before Abraham was, I am. And then the Jews took up stones to stone him because it was blasphemy. And in telling people that he was eternal, he was telling people that he was God himself. And that leads on to our next part. Verse 1 still, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1. This shows us that Jesus is a distinct person from God, and yet one with him. Distinct person, yet one in essence. The Son and the Father, they share in the glory, they share in their majesty, in their eternity, in their purpose, they share in all things, in their power, yet they are distinct persons. Don't be one of those who has to think on these things and understand them, who will drive themselves insane to try and wrap their mind around the Trinity. May we, like childlike faith, believe in the Word of God One God, two persons. One God, two in one essence, two persons. Where God was, so was Christ. It is no wonder that Christ calls us to have this kind of faith. There is no division of the fullness of God in Christ. When Christ became man, there was no division in the divinity of him. The fullness of God indwelt in Christ Jesus as the man. May we be those who just humble ourselves, accept the word of God. There are so many who do their best to remove the fullness of God from our Savior. They see Christ as a created being whose sole purpose was to be slain by God. They make the image of God to be one as some idol in the Aztec times, that the wrath of God should be justified just by someone being sacrificed. But we miss out the grace and love of God. When Christ came to this world to be the atonement for sin and to be that sacrifice, he was not just a man whom God used, it was God himself offering himself. And when we understand that, we know and we can say that God is love. Without the judgment of God, there is no love of God. And it was God himself who put himself on that cross. Not some man. And there we see the grace and love of the God in which we serve. Not some mean, and I speak reverently here, not some mean and angry God who desires someone to be killed, but one who sent himself to be the atonement for sin. And I hope you know that this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 3. And these are very helpful verses when we look at God, Christ as God, and what that means for Calvary. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 to 26. This is about justification by faith in Christ. And it says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ Jesus." So we find that God is the just and the justifier. God had to fulfill his justice. He could not allow sin to be wavered. Because if he were to do that, he would admit that he was not worthy, that he was not righteous and holy, that he was not full of glory, and that sin against him meant nothing. No, God had to deal with sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin are death, and that blood is required for the remission of sins. So we know that God needed a sacrifice for sin. And so God, knowing that man could not fulfill this, sent himself. So he was just. He had to fulfill the justice of sin, but he was also the justifier. Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Atoning the sin, taking the wrath that was rightfully ours, so that we can one day have eternal life with him. Oh, there's such a God that we serve, and we can spend our whole lives just understanding the beauty of who it is that we serve and who has created us and who has redeemed us. God, the just and the justifier. Verse 3, let's move on. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. This truth reaffirms the deity of Christ once again. They go hand in hand. These truths that we find in John are so finely interwoven. If Christ is eternal, then he is God. If he is God, he is eternal, and he has created all things. You can't escape one without the other. And so many people try and pry away parts of the Bible. They knock off parts of truth. And when they do that, the whole thing comes tumbling down. And you're not left with the gospel. You're not left with the Jesus Christ of the Bible, the Son of God. All creation was made by the hand of Christ himself. As he was with the counsel of God in the beginning, Christ was not just watching by as the Father created all things. No, his hand was in the creation of all things. He did not sit by as an apprentice watches his master make things. No, the fullness of God's power and creation is in Jesus Christ himself. All creation was by his hand. He was not merely an observer. He made all things, from the mightiest of the host of angels down to the smallest of cruelest creatures. Christ had his hand in the creation. The second part of verse 3 says, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now we read this and we seem to think, well, John, you're repeating yourself here, but we know that this is the divine word of God. He firstly states that Christ was the creator of all things, but then fortifies this statement by telling us that Christ was not in the created order. He was outside the bracket of creation. Now, I do believe that this was probably one of the issues that was being, there was much confusion about, as Christ being created by God. And so he fortifies the statement that in him was not anything made that was made. He was outside creation. He was eternal from the beginning. And this should really change our view of Christ as we read about him. When we read in the nativity scene, we think of Christ as the child in a manger, that he created the world and then came into it, that he created that star and ordained it to lead the wise men to him, that he created those heavenly hosts to reveal themselves to the shepherds and guide them to himself, that Christ had made those things and ordained them so that his glory might be received in his incarnation at his birth. What an amazing thought. Turn with me to Hebrews 1 that we read earlier. Hebrews 1, we're reading verses 5 to 10. And the Lord really opened my eyes to these verses not so long ago. And if you're ever struggling with teaching someone at the deity of Christ, then these verses are so helpful to us. And they almost mirror exactly what John is saying in his first few verses. Hebrews 1, verses 5 down to 10. It says, and here we have, let me just explain quickly, that a conversation between the Father and the Son. For unto the world of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, so God the Father saying to the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. There we see the deity of Christ. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, and with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. We should have no misgivings about who Christ is this morning. The Bible is very clear. He was eternal, he is one with God, and he created all things. Back in our text, in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Yes, we know now that Christ created all, that Christ breathed in the life into the nostrils of Adam. But I believe this is talking about spiritual life. A life that not everybody has. You may be sat here thinking, but I have life now and I don't have Christ. I'm sorry, you don't have true eternal life. Ephesians 2 verse 1 tells us that if you do not have Christ, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You see, you and me, we're on the cusp of eternity. And one day we will take that step through our earthly death. And the truth is, if you have Christ or not, I hope you have Christ, because if you don't, there is only death. But there is a life to be had with him. Life that is more than this life right now. And this is the life that's the light of men. Have you ever noticed a Christian who is so full of Christ, who is so thankful to him, who is so full of his light and his spirit, that there's a new life in him, a spiritual life. He has changed. He is reborn. This is why Jesus tells us that unless a man be born again, he may never enter the kingdom of God. And this is the life that John here is talking to us about. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. He brings this life to us. He shines it into the heart of man, revealing his sinful nature. This is how the light works. Do you remember the account when the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery and they throw her at his feet and they say, by the law of Moses, this woman should be stoned. And Christ said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And then Jesus, after that, after they all leave, they realize that they're all sinners. Jesus stands up and says, I'm the light of the world. And as these Pharisees approached Christ to trick him, his light revealed in them their sin. And as you come to church this morning, is Christ revealing to you who you really are? As we draw near to him, he reveals the sinfulness of us. And often that can either turn us towards Christ or turn us away. There have been times when I've been sat listening to a preacher and I think, I'm sure he's been watching me this week. He's known how I've failed. He's known how I've dishonored my wife, how I haven't been a good father. But the truth is, this is the word of God. This is Christ, the light of Christ, entering into my heart, revealing my sinful nature. And when God does that this morning, don't flee from it. Don't bury your head in the sand, but throw yourself at the Savior. Realize your position, that you have offended a holy and living God. That you need to be saved from sin, that there is nothing that you can do, that this burden cannot be removed from you. Don't flee from this light. You know, on the streets, you'll ask people if they want a gospel tract, and they will say, I'm fine. They go, no, I'm fine, I'm okay. They're not okay. They're on the broad road to destruction. Now I wonder this morning, if any of us, do we truly think we're fine? Or is the light of Christ this morning shining into us, revealing our desperate need of a Savior? I hope it is. I am the light of the world, says Christ. And when you read God's word or hear preaching of the word, conviction enters in. It should disturb our spirit. And that is the light of Christ revealing to you your need. And when we realize how desperate we really are, we know that we need a Savior. You see, so many churches today, they just preach the Savior, the love of Christ. You see, nobody's going to want Christ unless they know that there's condemnation, unless they know that there is judgment to be had. We won't want saving unless we feel that we need saved this morning. And it's only when we see our need we throw ourselves at the Savior. Lord, take this burden from us. Can we say this morning, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. Is that your song this morning? That you want the Savior to wash you of your sin and take your burden? I hope it is. Verse 5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now this truth here in verse 5 is one that should speak to us and shed light on the position of us. Have we comprehended the light of Christ this morning? Or are we living in darkness? Are we counted as one who says that the darkness comprehended it not? Are you yet to comprehend this light of Christ? Or are you comfortable? Do you prefer to be ignorant about your sin, burying your head in the sand? Is your mind clouded in judgment? Has Satan tempted you to say, I have no need of this Christ? We need to be put in a position this morning where we either accept Christ or we reject him. Every time we come into the chapel, the word of God should bring us to a crossroads. Do I go with Christ or do I lead away to the road of destruction? And whether you know it or not, every time you leave this chapel, you make that choice. But do not fear. There's life to be had in Christ. And the light shineth. I love this part of verse 5. And the light shineth. Christ's light is still shining today. Christ's light continues to guide people to himself, as the star did. to the manger where he lay. Christ is eternal and his light shines today more so than it ever did, as much as it ever did before. In this dark world, there is a path still lit that we may find ourselves back to Christ. He reaches out his hand with his light and reveals to us where he is and who he is and that there is salvation. The fact that the light is still burning tells me that there are souls still to be saved, that there are sheep still to be led back into the flock, that there are men and women who are children of God who are ready to be revealed. And so this is why we continue to meet as a church. This is why we continue to preach the gospel week in, week out, to be the harvesters. The laborers are few, but the harvest is full, is ready to be plucked. And so because Christ's light is still shining, we know that there are those who need to come to him still. I wonder, are you one this morning who is on the fence about all these things? Well, we must make a decision. It is an urgent matter that we settle our souls with Christ this morning. Isaiah 55, 6-7, these were the latter verses of the reading that we read first thing this morning. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. We serve a God who will abundantly pardon you this morning if you come to him in faith. If you come to the one who is in the beginning, the one who is God, who was with God, who created all things, he will abundantly pardon because he has paid the price. He is the just and the justifier for us as Christians. Seek him while he may be found. Every time God's word is preached, there is a revelation of Christ. What will you do with that revelation this morning? Will you reject him once again, or will you turn to him? This is for us as well, Christians. Let's recommit ourselves to the Lord. Whatever's happened this week, Lord, we are not there yet. That process of sanctification continues in our spiritual walk, and we should be aiming to be holy Christians. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says Christ, says God. And so may we not be afraid of those who ridicule us for striving for holiness. You see, if there's one thing the church in this country today is a lack of holiness, it is merging with the world. It is falling into the temptation of Satan to compromise, and therefore it stands on no foundation. So as we look at Christ this morning, as we see who he is, as we understand what manner of man this was, his deity, his eternity, in doing so we see the gravity of our sin. Because such a man was needed to deal with our sin. And Christian, this morning, may we understand more and more the gravity of our sin. That it took God himself to die for it. And it should make us ever more thankful, ever more eager to serve him and to love him. And I want to finish with this thought. 6 days it took to create the heavens and the earth, in scripture we are told. But over 30 years... in the life and death of Christ to deal with our sin. Shouldn't that not just expose what Christ has done and the sinfulness of our sin? Christian, let us be ever more thankful. May we live for him. May we be filled more with him this morning than we ever have been. May we not look back and think of sweet times we had of Christ, but may this be the sweetest time and loveliest time we've had with our dear Saviour than before. And if you have not Christ this morning, seek him while he may be found. Christ's light still shineth at this moment. Don't hide away from it. Don't let your sinfulness get in the way and come to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth of thy word. But Lord, we do thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who had the fullness of God, who is no other but God himself in the flesh. And Lord, it took such a man to deal with our sin. So Lord, we do pray that you would attend to the heart and the need of the sinner this morning, who does not know thee. Lord, who has never fully realized the weight and the gravity of their sin, but may they know that there is a Savior who has redeemed his people. That may he come to him while he may be found. May he not put off the light of Christ in which reveals the inner sinner of which the human heart harbors. And so, Father, do be with your child this week. Lord, as we come and to acknowledge our dear Savior, may we be ones who are willing to live and to die for him, to give all for him, for he gave all for us, so that we might have life eternal. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.